Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Save big money on everything for your projects now at Menards. Plastic lattice panels are durable, low maintenance, and are easy to install. They're a great accent for deck skirting, garden trellises, and creating privacy walls. We stock a huge variety of colors and sizes to fit your project. Save big on lattice at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Hey everyone, Maddie here. If you're viewing from Spotify, you might have noticed the video feature is missing. That's because going forward, it will be split into two different feeds. No worries though, just look up Comfort Level Podcasts and in parentheses, video, if you like to watch podcasts like me. Give us a follow on there so people know where to find the video version. The audio feed will now be called Comfort Level Podcasts, which is this one. Thank you so much for your support, listeners and watchers, and now onto the podcast. Tonight's stories.
Incest.
Leave.
Confess. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with
Sam.
So, you two were busy over the weekend. Yeah. You guys were real busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what'd you guys do?
We went to Dallas, baby. Yeah,
no, but we saw the greatest ball handler.
That sounds really weird.
Continue. There's no pauses out here. Basketball ball handler of all time, Kyrie Irving.
Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew, and he was carrying that team.
On his back. And the landlord.
And yeah, P.J. Washington, man.
Not P.J. Washington.
No. What's his name?
I kept calling the landlord so much I forgot his real name.
Ritz Dude? That's what Ritz we kept saying. Dude, every time he would do like a dunk or like a good play, Ritz Dude?
Because he's the landlord.
He's the landlord,
so he gets rent.
The way that you could have just said Kyrie Irving, right? Or
yeah.
Well, he is like the greatest of all, like best handles of all time.
But actually, now that Maddie's pointing that out, while we're at the game, he kept going on and on about like he can really handle balls. I would let him handle my balls anytime. And I was like, I kept thinking about like in context of basketball, but he did say it over and over again in a weird way, like he was
because you don't really play basketball.
Yeah, I do.
And why did you want Kyrie to handle your ball specifically? That's what I was like. You don't
because he could sign.
Do you own any basketballs?
This insisting is kind of weird. Like this first story. Is it bottom or middle?
You know which one it is. And she did it. She absolutely knew which one it was.
I didn't. We haven't filmed in like a week.
Actually, this...
Can we also talk about the story of you over this weekend?
Oh, yeah. We could talk about that.
Please. So we got to the stadium an hour early.
No, we were 2 hours early.
We were 2 hours early, right? We're chilling, you know, just enjoying the overcast.
Exactly how I want it to be. 2 hours early to an event. People thought it was crazy.
We're chilling in the overcast outside, and me, Sam, and Eric, and we're chilling. And Eric's like telling us a story.
No, because Eric got interviewed. By the people at the stadium asking him trivia questions.
You should take it over from here.
And he comes back, and we're like asking him, like, what did they say? And I'm like, he's like facing the center of it, and I'm looking at him, and then I just look a little bit past him. And I see one of the most beautiful women in the world walking a dog. And my eyes start to tear up. I start, like, actual tears tear up. And I'm like, and Brandon sees me. Did you see me first?
Yeah,
did
I saw him first. I saw him. I look over. I see Sam is like, and I was like, wait, what? Did we miss something? I look over. I'm like, oh, and then I look back and he's over here just wiping tears out of his eyes. Yeah. And I was like, he said, oh no, that brought me to tears, bro.
It's never happened to me in my life.
I was crying.
I don't know if I missed out on something because I've never been brought to tears by anyone.
Were you able to reach to go talk to her?
She was gone.
She was gone. And the funny thing is, it was such a big reaction from him that I joked and I was like, Sam, she's coming back. And he just froze.
I went like this.
He literally froze in his place.
And then she did come back, but we were already in line and I didn't see her to the end. She was like out of view coming back the other way. I was like, so I don't know.
That was the craziest reaction I've ever seen.
That is crazy.
I think I missed out on something.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it. I feel like you're probably going to be thinking about her for the next few years.
Probably for the rest of my life.
What could have been?
Yeah, what could have been? So I will be moving to Dallas.
So, beautiful lady, if you watch this podcast,
if you walk in the dog, it was like a Pomeranian or something.
White Pomeranian.
Dog, yeah. Beautiful Hispanic woman.
What was the date? What was the city? What was the time?
Dallas, Texas, the 25th, round 215.
Yeah. Of January.
There was an overcast that day.
Yeah. If you saw me.
What was she wearing?
She had exercise pants on. She had like a little hoodie.
What was the color?
Gray.
Yeah, it was gray.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was saying, if she were to somehow see this video and you were to have 10 seconds of her attention, I know you don't know what you would say, but if she was
right there,
what would you say to her?
Like in that situation or right now?
Right now.
In the situation, I'm not saying nothing. He would have froze.
Yeah, I would have froze. So now I'm like,
I never freeze.
I'm telling her I never freeze. And no, I think now I'm telling her, you brought an emotion out of me that I did not know could happen from a stranger. I feel like if I saw Beyonce in person, that I would not have that. It would not have that effect on me. I don't know what this was. So you changed my life. And
you're inspirational to him. And
maybe I can change yours. But I don't know. I don't know, Maddie.
This first story is, am I the asshole for refusing to do anything around the house because my wife insisted on staying home with our child? This one feels like a trap. Does it feel like a trap to you guys?
Yeah, I'm not saying anything. I'm not involved in it.
Am I the asshole for refusing to do anything around the house because my wife insisted on staying home with our child? I, 28 male, have been with my wife, 27 female, for 4 years, married for one. I'm an electrician and she's an accountant. I make about $60,000 a year and she makes about $55,000. 7 months ago, we had our first child. My wife was supposed to go back to work 2 months ago. She took the maximum maternity leave her company allows, which is 6 months, which she started 1 month before labor. When it was time to resume work, my wife told me that she would feel guilt and sadness if we put our child in daycare. Therefore, she wants to stay home with him. I suggested therapy, but she's very persistent and says nothing a therapist will say will change her feelings. At this point, it seemed like I had no choice, so I started calculating how much I would have to work to compensate her income. Ooh. I usually work 45 hours a week, 9 to 5, and without her income, it would have to be at least 65 to 70. 10 hours a day, every day of the week. I told my wife how grueling it would be, and she tried convincing me by saying I must sacrifice for our child, and she would do all the child care and housework, and I wouldn't have to do anything around the house. Even without any housework, it's still very extreme, but I reluctantly agreed because I felt like I had no choice. So it happened. My wife resigned from her job, company policy, if you don't come back, you get replaced. And I picked up the extra hours. My day starts by going to the gym at 5 a.m. It's the only thing keeping me sane. And then I would work from 7 to 5 and get home at 5:30, absolutely spent, and I would just take a shower and rest. During the first month or so, my wife kept her word and took care of the housework, but then she started expecting me to help her around the house, and I would remind her of our agreement, and she would look annoyed, but move on and do it herself. 2 days ago, she told me that she's tired and wants me to make dinner, and I flat out refused, and I told her she's breaking her promise, and made it very clear that she shouldn't expect anything from me when it comes to housework. She looked furious, but she got up and made dinner, and since then, she's been giving me the silent treatment. I'm full of anger and resentment right now. At first, she got me taking 25 more hours a week, and now she's breaking her promise and trying to manipulate me by giving me the silent treatment. I'm losing my mind.
Mm.
So when I read this, I was like, I think the agreement in general is really messed up, because they're both going to get tired and they're both going to eventually need the other person to rely on.
Yeah.
And it's literally not possible because they're both being absolutely spent. This woman is never getting a day off. She's always taking care of the baby. But this man is also never getting a day off. He's always working. Mm-hmm. He has, you know, maybe some time to maybe a few more hours than her to rest. But that is something that she said from the beginning. You do not have to rely on this if you just work more. But oh my God, working 10 hours a day every day forever or until things change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is not fair. That should have never been an agreement. I don't think he's the asshole for pushing back on this. But I think in general, no matter what, it's not going to work because they're both spent and they need to figure out something else. But it kind of sucks now because neither of them can really lean or move as much as they could before because they're both seemingly burning themselves out. So how do you recover from a burnout when you're both doing as much as you can, like, to survive, to live?
Yeah.
And it's still not enough based on what you guys worked out. Because this isn't working.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I agree with what you said. I kind of want to put it as everyone sucks here just because of that agreement. Because I feel like they both should have communicated that a lot more before that would even happen.
I mean, I feel like he did. He was like, I'm working this many hours. Is this okay? And she was still like, no, I want to do this.
Yeah.
But I'll do this, which is a big thing for her to promise. Like, I really don't think at the end of the day, just from how it seems when it comes to raising children, raising a child on your own and never, ever getting a break, that doesn't really seem like it's possible. Like, people do it because they have to, not because, like, if they had an option of like, hey, could you help me for a second?
Yeah.
I think they would take that opportunity. And so she was probably desperately in need, but he was like, I'm also on the other end of this providing for our family as much as possible. And I already told you I couldn't do what I'm doing. So now you're asking me for more of what I'm already doing.
Yeah.
It's just like, they're both going to get upset at each other.
Yeah. The only reason I'm kind of, I'm leaning more towards, to me, it just boils down to the communication part of everything.
Yeah.
But also, on her side, not only does this agreement put him in a chess move to be working all the time, but it also takes him away from being able to be with the child as well.
Mm-hmm.
If he's working 70 hours a week, he's not going to be able to take care of the child. Therefore, he's not going to be able to have a lot of time to bond with the child. And she's doing everything. But now when he's working 70 hours a week, all that stuff from the house is going to fall because he doesn't have to worry about any of it. But I don't know. It just, I was trying so hard to focus and I was like, I can't right now. But on the other side of it, he's kind of forced into a rock and a hard place. Well, I guess maybe more she is than. I guess I'm coming more so from the side of if it was like just a one night type thing. And she's like, can you please just cook dinner tonight? But at the same time, she put them in that position.
Yeah, because it could be the same thing of him being like, can I please just not work 10 hours today? Can I only work 7 hours today? And she's like, well, it's really not in the budget for you to do that. So I need you to work. It's like, okay, well, I need you to do what you said you could do.
Yeah.
So it's going to fail on both ends.
Yeah, this is a. They kind of put themselves in like a bad chess move area because now it's danged if you do, danged if you don't.
Because it's like
he can't cut back at all.
I can, you know, understand a mother wanting to be like, hey, I have this bond with this baby. I don't want to leave. It's going to be upsetting for me. But also, like, how would he feel now that he's like never seeing the baby ever?
Right. Yeah.
And you're just. Your decision is making it so much harder on him as well to also provide for the baby. I feel like the same thing. There was another story like this. I don't know if you guys remember. Same thing, but he absolutely refused. He was like, I will not work overtime. He was like, you can't quit your job. And if you do, we're going to get a divorce.
Yeah.
And they did end up getting a divorce. And so now it's like, now she has to work and,
yeah,
you know, the baby's going to be separated because they couldn't agree on it. she wouldn't go back to work on this other story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing.
It is a realistic situation because I think both have valid concerns. He doesn't want to work tons of hours. She doesn't want her child to be in daycare because we know there's things that happen in daycare. You can't always completely protect your children. So it's just literally your value system and your perspective of what you think is important. And they made a compromise. It wasn't the best for everyone. She's going to spend all her time with the child. She's going to take care of the house. He's going to work more hours. It's not good for either one of them. What I was watching on the show, which I think because of the times we are now, people are now more talking about the division of labor between a couple. And it is important to talk about now because we weren't talking about it and we're just expecting people to do something. So it's good that it's talked about. But I think when we talk about it, people think that it has to be equal. Like it has to be equal or it has to stay static. If we decide a decision, it has to be like this for the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
And this show was talking about like, hey, when you're in a relationship, when you have a family, sometimes it's going to be in your favor. Sometimes it's not going to be in your favor. It's the push and pull over it over time that we can both stay sane. Sometimes I'm going to be shouldering a lot of the load and you're going to have less. And sometimes I need to take it on, but we're not stuck in these roles because that's what I feel like. They feel like they're stuck in it.
Yeah.
And you should be able to be like at sometimes like, yeah, I can help you make dinner. And maybe we go without this thing so you can work a little bit less. Maybe we cut back on some expenses so you don't have to work as much. You have to like make those pushes and pulls so you don't burn yourself out and die at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Stress yourself out. Yeah, because I don't think there's this perfect, it's separated like this and we can make this agreement and it's going to be good to the end of time and no one feels like they're being slighted
right.
on either side.
Right.
You got to move with the times, yeah. move with the different parts of the year, move when someone feels a certain way or someone's a little depressed. Things have to change to prioritize whatever partner is more in need.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where the angle I was coming at because of that whole him like, I'm not cooking dinner because I'm working 70 hours a week. But to your point, you're like, it should be fluid.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I was like, maybe they both suck because it was a poor decision in our opinion. But, and it sounds weird, but it's like, even though he's working the 70 hours a week, like you could probably just do that one day. If she's like literally begging you, like, please, can you make dinner? And he's like, nope, I will not. That's literally how I see the situation in my head. Just, nope, I will not. But
yeah, like you're prioritizing being right.
Yeah.
Because we did make an agreement, which you can always say, like, we agreed on this.
Mm-hmm.
But in my head, I'm like, am I prioritizing like being right in the situation or
being
the future of our family and our relationship saying pure? I could be completely right. Like I could have, we have a contract signed up and I just know it's going to help my partner. So I have to make the sacrifice, but I am going to communicate.
Yeah,
I really don't want to do this and maybe we should revisit this. But in this one instance, and both sides on her side as well, like you can't just be like, oh, we said this thing, so it's got to be like this 100%. I got to be able to talk to him like, okay, I know we said this, but can we revisit this? Can we talk about how we're going to do this again or do something different?
Yeah. The only thing, how would you cut down? Because she had 50,000?
55. And he had 60.
He had 60.
You basically went down.
Yeah, like you have to downsize
double
everything.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think that's where he's coming from is like, yeah, that's a good solution. But the way he's like writing it seems to be he already compromised with the, okay, I'm going to double my workload.
Yeah.
I'm already compromising with that. And now, like you're saying, she hasn't compromised yet.
Right.
And she's asking for something again. And he's kind of frustrated in the way of,
yeah,
I've already compromised by working myself to the bone. Which I'm sure he probably understands, or maybe he doesn't. She's working herself to the bone too. Like being with an infant, I imagine like being the primary caregiver of an infant and also taking care of a household and making sure that there's food for everybody. That's like, that also sounds like they both sound like hellish jobs.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be honest, they both sound like it's probably not good for either of their mental well-beings, which is, I think, the problem of how can you how can you have be in a situation where it's probably never going to be 50-50? Yeah. In a perfect world, it could be, but a lot of times it's going to be, hey, tonight it's 70-30. How can I take on the extra 20 if I am also in the same position that you are? And when I rely on you for help, I literally don't have anything to give, just like you don't have anything to give.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole thing of...
Yeah.
Which I'm going to read top comment here because it's talking about what we're saying too, but y'all need therapy or you're going to get divorced. Like they need to communicate, they need to go to therapy and rework this situation they have because it's not working.
Or at least get an outside opinion. I feel as though some people can look on the outside of the situation and be like, you guys did just kind of screw yourselves over. But here's how you could change this at least somehow.
Well, because I don't know if there's any solution. I don't know if you can completely be like, because she does not want to leave the baby alone. So you're like, the solution would be you get a job. And she's like, well, I don't want to leave the kid alone. And then the solution the other way is like, he works less. Then we don't have enough money to support our family.
Or maybe they ease into daycare.
Because even now, like, they both seem so burnt out that even now, if they were to work out a perfect transition, it's still going to take time.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like tomorrow, hey, I got another job, 55, maybe more. She now has to look for another job. Maybe that job will take her back, but she now has to look for another job that will be able to bring up his income, their income together so that he doesn't have to work as much. And then also putting their baby in daycare, which I think we talked about last year was like $30,000 a year per child, $25,000 to $30,000 a year per child. So yeah, you're still, at the end of the day, it just doesn't really sound like there's enough money to like happily live as a family of three.
Yeah.
And like, what do you do about that?
But I think this is one of the things we can add to our book of questions before you get married or questions before you start a family is like, how do you see this going? If we were to have children, what would you want to do? What would you want your role to be? Because some people are perfectly fine letting their kid go to babysitting. They want to go back to work. Mm-hmm. They have that value because I'm closer to the dad where I'm like, I want us to both have jobs. I want us to
money.
Yeah. I'm like, I do want to have, I want to build things. I want to build for our family. And it's easier in a 2-person paycheck household. So I'm like, when I'm getting married, you think about getting married to someone, I'm like, what do you see in this situation? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be a stay at home mom? And do we have the means to go to that? And that's like a good conversation to have before you have the family.
Yeah.
It's not saying that it won't change because she could be like, oh, yeah, I want to have a job. And she comes in like, I don't. But I'm like, I still want to get it, have an idea of where we're going towards.
Yeah. I feel like that has to be a layered, very, very layered question, though, because what if it changes should also be a follow up question, because I feel like that's what happened in this scenario. He was fully expecting her to go back and they put him the child in daycare. And she's like, yeah, I don't want to actually. And it kind of screwed up the whole dynamic.
Yeah.
Or like, everything. God forbid, what do you do if like she didn't willingly quit? You know, like what happens if his job, something happens with his job?
Or if stuff like comes with the birth, the childbirth itself.
Yeah.
She can't go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Just me. I have people at my job who do it completely fine. At least from the outside, they're single paycheck households. They're doing it. I worry about those things. I'm like, what if I lost my job? What if I'm like, I'm worried about that. So I'm like, this is a value of mine that I don't want it all to be on me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather it not. I'd rather share this.
Yeah. Yeah.
The emotions behind having a child. I think that's where I'm also like, I wonder where her, I guess I just want a little bit to understand more of her headspace of why she's okay with, because to me that doesn't make sense, that why she would be okay with him working 70 hours a week, being exhausted. I don't know. I think I'm just, I couldn't justify seeing her do that, like, willingly.
Seeing him work so much?
Yeah, seeing him work so much. There's something in my brain that's just telling me that.
Well, to me, I see it as like, she's saying, hey, can you do this really big thing? But I'm also going to do this really big thing on my end.
Yeah.
So it's not like she's just seemingly living it up. She seems like she's really struggling with it.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like she's asking him to do this big thing, but she was like, I'm going to carry this load over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And she's not.
She seemed like she was, maybe she really thought she could do it, but a month in, she's like exhausted.
Yeah.
So it's, to me, it seems like they're both equal things. It's just a really bad situation that seemingly was going to fail. Because when do you ever get a break for yourself?
Yeah.
Because we are flawed. We can think we can do something. And like she did realize a month in, oh, yeah, I can't do it. That's something that's naturally going to happen in all relationships because I make mistakes. I thought I could do something. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Now you got to figure out how do we move forward now?
I do that all the time. Yeah. I do that all the time. You'll be like, this isn't going to work. I'm like, let's try it out. And then it happens. I'm like, you're right. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
But then does it become, which I think is dangerous for relationship, does it become a point system? Like, I did all this. Now I'm coming back and bringing this to you. Like, I did this. I'm 20 points up on you. And you want me to do more now?
Yeah.
Does it become that tick for tack? Because I'm like, that is the road to divorce. When it's like, we're on a scoring system against each other. Mm-hmm. Decide who's doing more. I'm like, that's probably not a good thing for a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is why I agree with top comment. Therapy or you're probably going down the road of divorce.
Yeah.
Because neither of you are happy.
Yeah, confess your sins to the therapist.
Like this next story.
I was trying to confess. You didn't even hear it. She did it for you. This is video proof. And you didn't even acknowledge.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All legit.
I'm shocked.
You don't deserve it.
No, I'm shocked. I think this is the nicest thing that he's ever done for me.
You start crying.
Okay, so I lost trust of my fiance after she confessed something really shocking to me in bed. How do I move forward from this?
Oh.
Was it that she killed your dad?
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Because I just watched a Netflix show where that was a twist.
I, 26 male, lost the trust of my fiance, 25 female, after she confessed something really shocking to me in bed. How do I move forward from this? So it's the morning hours where I'm from. I woke up to some quality time sex with my fiance before we started our day.
Hey, yo.
And after everything had come to an end, we laid down cuddling and one thing led to another. And she was telling me something along the lines of, if I ever left her, she would make sure the other woman had to work really hard to keep me. Something along the lines of breaking my manhood, which is unusual and funny, but I guess when the sex is that good, you tend to get a little crazy. So I don't know how the conversation came up, but then she said, I have a confession to make. And I'm slowly like, okay. Well, I had a smile on my face, and that's when she said, and I quote, we had a fight, non-physical. It was to the point that I was so frustrated that when I went to make your dinner, I snuck something into your tea that makes you sleep. And I was watching you fight that sleep. Your eyes were so red, and when you did actually go to sleep, I sat down and I watched you as I contemplated what to do about us, and so many thoughts were going through my mind while I watched you sleep for a few hours. And I eventually got tired and I just went to bed, end quote. The fear in my eyes was real as I just listened to my fiance admitting to being a fucking psycho and drugging me while she contemplated on a way forward. I know for a fact that I don't trust this woman anymore, and now I'm even more scared to sleep with her or to eat from her, all because we had an argument over her not doing what's right. We haven't spoken for the entire day after that confession, even after she made several attempts to talk. I'm afraid to even go to my friends, knowing they'll probably just laugh and say, it's nothing, and tell me to relax. That was really funny. Not weird at all.
That's like a non-negotiable. Don't drug me?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I should be able to trust you with my body. Yeah. I should be able to go to sleep and completely know that you would never do anything to me or put anything in my drink or my food.
I kind of wanted to pull a Sam. And I might be on the wrong on this one, but... Don't drug your significant other.
It's a weird rule.
It's a weird. Don't do that. Yeah. It's just not a good thing to do.
Thanks for standing up.
Man. Yeah,
kind of a controversial take, but I kind of want to admit that I agree with that.
Yeah,
you guys are about to get flamed in the comments.
That's crazy.
Don't drug your significant other.
Y'all are about to get flamed.
I know, guys. Don't eat us up too bad.
Oh
but
my gosh,
that's horrifying.
And I'm keeping that in.
That's horrifying. That is so scary.
Wait, was he asking if he should get out of the relationship?
What
was
He's asking what to do because sees her like differently.
Don't tell her, though. Yeah. That's one of those things you got to do in the thief of the night.
He's saying he lost trust in her and now he doesn't know how to move forward.
Yeah, just leave. I think that's where you should move forward.
Yeah. Don't say anything, though. I actually am fearful for your life. Don't say anything. You got to just do it silently.
Yeah.
Because that's scary.
It's also scary, too. It's like... You're kind of a level of mental illness where you don't even understand that you telling me this is not scary. Like, I think a person who has mental problems but, like, realized, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that, they'll take that to their grave. They'll never tell them. But the fact that she told him to was like, oh, this is something like a funny story we can get over.
I have a confession to make.
You're crazier than I thought. So are you calling authorities or are you just leaving?
I think definitely leave the situation first. But he's just in so much shock that he's like, I'm not speaking to you anymore.
Yeah.
But it really is probably definitely get away from her, at least for now, to really evaluate what you want. Because I think he's in shock.
Don't eat it.
Well, because I'm in these situations, I'm switching the genders. If a man did this to a woman, she's probably calling the police, right?
Yeah, you should.
But yeah, like I feel like he should... call the police. This is something that's terrifying to me.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
But I wonder also what if it was like one of those drugs that would pick up. Do all drugs pick up?
It doesn't even have to be like an illegal, like if you just drugged me to make me go out with a legal drug, that's scary.
Yeah.
If you made me go to sleep.
You just like put like a lot of NyQuil.
Yeah, NyQuil. Yeah, it's weird.
You're like, really? That's weird.
If you altered my state without me knowing.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, you know, just how the police system goes with men.
Well, that's true, but.
It's still worth an attempt, though.
Yeah,
you should do is go to the police and separate yourself from her and.
Don't eat anything.
Probably really don't speak to her until you. But because I think he's in shock right now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So have sex with her one more time and then you need to get out of there. That sucks. I'm sorry, OP.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how disturbing it would be to realize somebody that you trust was not a person to trust and taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
So. And the weird thing is too, like what she was describing, she was like, I was watching you slowly lose consciousness and I was just staring at that. And then I was watching you for hours asleep trying to figure out what to do. I'm like, you're watching me sleep and you know why I'm falling asleep.
Yeah.
Because again, we had an argument. So what happens when something worse happens?
And then the what to do next sent a chill down my spine. Because what do you mean, what to do next?
Well, it is his fiance. This is like more than a girlfriend. They're like planning the future life. I'm guessing they live together. It's a difficult process to unwind. But you should start that process.
But like, when she said that in the context of what happened, what to do next is horrifying.
Oh, when she said it, okay, yeah.
What to do next? What does that mean?
That's a weighted statement.
That is such a crazy statement to say. Like, were you going to kill me? Or? Yeah.
That's the first thing I'm thinking. Because even I think about like exes that I've slept in the same bed with them. Like, just thinking about sleeping in the same bed with them, going to sleep with someone else, that's putting a lot of trust in someone. You do like them, you love them, so you're like, well, I don't even think about it. But that's still interesting to do that with anybody. Mm-hmm. And then have someone told you, like, I made you go to sleep so I could, I didn't even give you a choice to, like.
Oof, that's eerie. Ugh. I think that's one of those things where, sadly, you don't really think about it until you're in a situation where it was taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Probably.
Which, silver lining, she did tell you, so like this is a warning sign. A lot of people are not getting the warning sign. The bad things happening to them immediately.
Yeah.
At least he got warned, so he can get out of this safely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely leave, like, yeah. This next story.
Yeah, get out.
It was respectful because I figured out the button.
Yeah.
Right?
I will say, there was a video I saw on TikTok. It horrified me. And someone was like doing a video. They're like, how do I get away with murder and stuff like that? But it was like a joke. But then this white guy stitches it. And he's like, you really want to know? He's like, get a piece of glass and get in. It was like, what, like one of those, the bowl things, smush it till it's like powder and then put in spaghetti. And he's like, they won't notice it, but then
it'll make little cuts.
Yeah. It'll make cuts on the inside. And I was like, no, how do you know?
Because even then,
scary.
Eventually the...
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road, or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Cops will be like, yeah, so she has microfiber glass in her. Yeah. So what is the last thing she ate? Oh, she ate with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
But that's scary to know that there's people out there that.
And by the Parmesan cheese, there's a bag of shaved glass right next to her. You're like, okay, this is very suspicious, boyfriend.
Come on.
That's amore.
That's amore.
That's my gabagool. That's my gabagool.
You never had a glassy in your spaghetti.
Okay, so this next story is, am I the asshole for leaving a family gathering and taking the cake with me after getting my feelings hurt?
That's such a family thing. I'm taking this cake home too.
I, 27 female, hit 1 year sober from alcohol at the beginning of the year.
Congratulations.
This was a huge accomplishment for me. It was bigger to me than finishing college. I told my family that next time we were together for family dinner, I had something to celebrate. This all happened at my mom's. The kids were playing and the adults were hanging out. I took the moment to share that I'd reached 1 year sober and how good I felt about it. They went with, oh, that's what you were talking about. And has it been a year already? I was embarrassed to admit that I hoped someone would say they'd be proud of me. My brother-in-law, Steve, looked at my sister and they both said, well, at the same time. And she said, since we're all here, niece just got into a specific gymnastics thing. It's been a long road, but she did it. Steve popped some wine they brought and started giving everyone glasses and cups. He made direct eye contact with me and his face fell. I had this gnawing feeling, so I got up from the table and I took a walk. I tried to get through the moment mentally so I could be present for my niece to celebrate her success. But when I got back to the house, my sister asked me why I left without saying anything, and I just said I needed a minute to myself. She looked at me funny and said, okay.
All right.
I said I had shared something I was very proud of, and she bulldozed over it. My mom put her hand up and asked me what my news was, and I said that I had told them. I hit 1 year sober. Mom said my generation always wanted praise for doing the bare minimum, that it wasn't an accomplishment, it was just what I needed to do, like graduating high school. I tried to make it through dinner, but found myself just not in the mood anymore. I decided to go home. Here's the direct thing I'm being called an asshole for. I'd brought a small berry chantilly cake, my favorite, to share after dinner. It was a thing I decided I had earned. The kids had definitely seen it, and on my way out, I decided to take it home with me. I guess they realized the cake wasn't in the garage anymore, and my sister called me to ask why I took it. I said it's because it was my cake to celebrate my accomplishment, and she said word for word, are you fucking serious? Oh my God, Emma, grow up. You're such a fucking baby. My mom later texted me directly to tell me how disappointed she was that I threw a tantrum because my niece got more attention than me. I don't think her read of what happened is right, but this is why I'm asking you guys. Am I the asshole because I took the cake home in the end? Was that really childish of me, considering the kids saw it and they didn't get any of it? As I was putting my shoes on to leave, Steve found me and directly apologized and said that he was completely oblivious in the moment. I know he did not do anything to hurt me intentionally. And then there's some edits.
Popping the wine after that is diabolical.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, were you not listening to anything this woman just said like 2 minutes ago?
Sober. Meaning she's not doing it anymore. Yeah. And you just do that right.
Popping hella lean, got my eyes low. The way she sings that, okay,
it's
sorry.
So good.
I just listened to it on repeat for like 30 times in a row yesterday.
I'm telling you, it hits you. It's so good.
This family is the worst, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think you're the asshole for this for agreements time. I think an interesting thing when we're like, especially with family, that we think like family knows us. Mm-hmm. They know who we are as people and like they're constantly, they're trying to root for us and whatever. But I think an interesting thing from the four agreements is talking about how we're all just characters in each other's lives. We're like, we have a perception of what we think each person is. I have a perception of Brandon. That's from my lens, from my experience. I have a perception of Maddie, like how I view her from our experiences together and what I think, assumptions I make about her. And I feel like you're falling in that role for your family. You're a year sober, so you've had issues before in the past of something with substances or alcohol. And so they're seeing you through that lens. And you're a different person now. You're a year sober. You're trying to make better decisions. You're trying to change. And they're probably seeing you through the same lens. It's not your responsibility to change it for them. You're doing the right thing for you. I think getting yourself out of the situation in that instance is the right thing. They're not going to celebrate you and they're going to kind of look down at you like it's not an accomplishment. Take your cake, get up and go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Celebrate yourself because it is. It's a good thing. A year sober, I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
So just be around people who are also proud of you and want to celebrate your accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And just because it's your family, they should be those people. But if they're not, get out of there. Get your berry chantilly cake. You know what I'm saying?
Go do it with the friends.
Yeah, eat it.
Yeah.
Slide me a slice.
Because I don't think she's the asshole. She brought the cake for her celebration.
Yeah.
They ignored her. She decided she wanted to leave. It's not like it was for, which she ends up reiterating in the edits, but it wasn't for niece's birthday or whatever, and she brought the cake for niece.
She didn't know about it.
A family gathering, yeah. And she just brought it. And then she left, and she was like, I'm taking my cake with me because this is literally what I brought as a reward for me for hitting 1 year. So, yeah, I don't think you're the asshole for taking the cake. I think it's kind of, I mean, I think they noticed your absence, but I'm kind of, it's kind of upsetting that they were more annoyed that the cake left than you left. They're like, where's the cake?
Where's the cake? It looked good.
Mm-hmm. Where's the cake at? The kids were asking about it. I realized it was here. I was asking about it. Yeah. Not where am I? You know, why did I leave? So.
And plus, if I'm in the family, I have to realize, because I think I do this, I know I've done this in situations with my sister where she's proud of something and she wants to share something. And I'm like, well, I'm like, ugh. Like, I feel the need to say something nasty or mean to her when she's trying to share something good. That has nothing to do with her. It's me filtering through and like wanting to spread this to her for whatever reason. Now I'm catching myself often, I think over the last like year or two, where I'm like, why do you want to say this? Just celebrate her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no need to like bring up the past, bring up old things. Just be happy for her in the moment. And I feel like family gets a lot of that. We're like, I don't care about your little good thing, man. You stepped on my toy when I was 5 years old. I'll never forgive you for it. Like, it's that petty stuff that that's how you filter your interactions with your family.
Yeah. Well, also it just seems like the family doesn't really appreciate her at all.
Yeah.
And it seems like it starts with the parents, which is kind of tough. It's not just the one sibling who you're like, and then the mom is like, well, like, let's leave it alone. It's like, no, the mom thinks the same exact thing.
Yeah.
It's also tough to not see a peacekeeper in the family. Cause I would say I'm like a peacekeeper. I celebrate everybody. Elise is kind of like Sam, like someone will bring something and she'd just be snarky about it, but she celebrates too. But the brother, right? Cause it was the brother that was like, apologized.
Yeah. The brother.
Yeah.
He
apologized, but it was just for
the brother-in-law.
Oh, it was the brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. Dang. So it wasn't even a part of the family.
Yeah, no.
That was apologizing for just opening the wine, not necessarily, hey, you said a big thing. No one said anything.
And I was literally about to pass around alcohol. And
yeah.
Someone says I'm sober and you immediately
pull out alcohol.
Wine?
Yeah. Because
it didn't even seem like they were going to celebrate. Because it seemed like they just tacked on the niece thing after.
Yeah.
That wasn't even, it wasn't the point of the gathering. It just like, hey, we also have news. Your niece is in, what was the announcement? You're in gymnastics?
She got into this specific gymnastics program.
Oh my gosh.
So it must have been big enough where they intentionally were going to bring wine and celebrate with everybody, but also like,
and the niece
understand
is like, I can't,
that
I'm seven.
She's running around looking at the Chantilly cake waiting to eat it.
The niece is pissed.
She is pissed. It's like, that's cool that you got into the gymnastics program, but you didn't get cake. So might as well take that champagne back.
Nobody's celebrating you, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why she's getting that like black sheep treatment. But maybe, well, I think what you said in the beginning could be true of like, they have an image of her when she was struggling with alcohol.
And it's tough for people. It is tough for families to deal with addicts who sometimes frequently relapse and you're like, oh, this is the same old story.
I will say though, having a family member, multiple family members that struggle with alcoholism, mm-hmm. if they were to be like a year clean, that's such a big month. That's
is.
Not
I
like,
do. Yeah.
hey,
I do agree.
I've been clean for a few weeks. I'm like, great. Let me see you change. Yeah. It's been 12 months.
Yeah.
That's a big change. I don't know why that couldn't be celebrated, because even the family members that I know that I have tough relationship with, if they were to be like, hey, I'm a year sober of drinking, I'd be like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
At bare minimum, if you don't say anything, just a congratulations would have went a long way.
And a little bit more of a break in between your announcement and her announcement, please.
Yeah.
And if you want the cake, start nice, get the cake, then bring the poison. Secure the cake, then say the poison.
Be like, oh, I just saw you brought some cake in there. Yeah. Is that to celebrate your 1 year sober? Let's crack that open.
Yeah.
Oh, as you get your slice. By the way, niece got into a prestigious thing.
Yeah, wait after the cake to do the second.
She only has four slices left that she can leave with.
Like prestigious? Or like it was just the school's gymnastics program. Anyone could have done it.
They
it
actually
like,
accept everyone.
Yeah, there's no tryouts.
Yeah, they accept everyone. Yeah.
So it's like pretty good.
But yeah, no, OP, your family sucks and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Was this from ours?
No.
Okay. The people refused to let that slide.
And they
went, and they like this next
like
story.
The story. They like this next story. You should put sound effects for our transitions.
Okay, so Sam will transition and Brandon transition.
the people.
Wow, great transition, Sam. I think we got it. I think we got it.
It's not even the thing. It's just that nose right there now. What is happening?
Theranos. I agree.
Thorax.
Weird. The crowd loves that. Abdomen. Oh my gosh, it's similar to a thorax.
Stinger.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Oh my gosh. A bumblebee? What? Wait, what? Ross. They're objectively worse than bumblebees and they're happy about that? It sucks.
All right. So there's edits.
Wait. So there's edits.
So did we read this story?
Okay. So edit. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to follow up and say thank you to everyone for the responses. I have a lot to think about what I want to do next and go to therapy today, actually, and working on. I want to clear up a few things that I have seen in a lot of comments. I'm not in AA. I've tried AA before, and it was not compatible for me. It works for a lot of people very well, and I'm happy for you if it works for you. So stuff about the steps and personal inventory are not relevant to me. It wasn't a party for my niece. It was just a family dinner. The cake was mine and wasn't brought for my niece. I didn't take it because I wanted to get back at them. I took it because it was my cake. It was my favorite cake, and I wanted to eat it because it was my thing that I earned. I don't know why they open wine for my niece getting into a gymnastics program, but I also don't think it's my place to say anyone else has a drinking problem, and I'd prefer to have my eyes on my own paper.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's the first time I've heard that phrase. Have my eyes on my own paper.
Yeah.
Am I the asshole for refusing to let my sister move into my house I inherited because of how she treated me as a child?
Get this is your inheritance.
When I, 29 female, was 10, my parents divorced. My older sister, 35 female, stayed with our mom while I was sent to live with our dad. Over the years, my sister became the golden child, and I was more or less the family scapegoat. Anytime I visited, she would tease me relentlessly, calling me daddy's mistake, making fun of my clothes, or telling me I wasn't a part of her family. My mom always laughed it off as sibling banter, but it really messed with my self-esteem. Fast forward to adulthood, our dad passed away 2 years ago and left me the house he worked so hard for.
Oh, wow.
He didn't leave anything to my sister, which caused a lot of drama.
Yeah.
I know he did it because he saw how differently we were treated and he wanted to ensure that I was taken care of. Now my sister and her husband have fallen on hard times and are being evicted. She's demanding that I let her and her kids, 8 male and 5 female, move into the house temporarily. I told her no. I don't trust her after everything, and honestly, I'm still bitter about how she treated me for years. She called me heartless, saying I was punishing her kids for something they didn't do. My mom is, of course, taking her side, saying I'm being petty and cruel. She even said, family helps family, no matter what. Funny they didn't think that when I was being bullied by them growing up. So am I the asshole for refusing to let my sister move in, even though she and her kids are about to be homeless? I say no, because I just worry about, I don't know why, I don't know if she lives there now or if she's going to live there eventually or what.
Mm-hmm.
But my only thing is, I don't think you're the asshole for saying no now, because you can make that choice whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm not confident that the sister will leave when she asks her to leave, you know?
Yeah.
To be like, hey, so you're only here for a few months to find a place to be. this isn't a forever place. Just because we're family, you think you could take advantage of me, whether you're going to be not paying rent here for a period of time or staying here for longer than I would like.
Yeah.
And then also just understanding a little bit about, like, not renter's rights, but what happens when, even when something as simple as you start getting mail at a certain place, like, it's a lot harder to kick people out. From my little understanding about those rights of people living with you or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think if it's going to be a hassle to have her move out eventually, if she's already this way, yeah. I think it's fair for you to not want to deal with her in general. Mm-hmm. And that is family, but like we did ever since the table, take the family out of the equation. If this was a random person who you didn't have that great of a relationship with, you're like, hey, yeah, I'm sorry for your kids, but that's your responsibility. That's not my responsibility. Yeah. Maybe mom will let you stay with her.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I feel like I bring this point up a lot. You're not, but it's all on your conscience at the end of the day.
Yeah.
If you feel like you might be the a-hole afterwards, just know you're not, but that's your conscience speaking. Now you have to figure that out for yourself how to navigate that. But
because even with the conscious thing, I'm feeling like you're like, I don't want them to move into my house, but I do want to help them in some way. You can help them in other ways. You can be like, hey, I have some extra money I can give to you, or I can help put you up in a hotel for a period of time. But yeah.
Also the demanding from the sister.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I was like,
yeah,
don't talk like that from that when your position. Don't demand anything. I mean, life is showing you right now that nothing is promised.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you demand something from someone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree. I really agree with the conscience thing too, of if you can live with it and you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But that conscience thing is a real thing, and it could just, it'll make you feel worse after, even if you think you're making the right decision for you, that conscience could kind of make
you lie.
Yeah.
Especially if you in your conscience know that you're wrong. If you know you're wrong, even us telling you, like, you're not, won't
yeah, do it doesn't matter. Yeah, what other people would even say.
So, top comment: if you let her move in, you'll have problems getting her out. I predict she will refuse to leave and then make a claim for half. Not the asshole for being firm on not allowing her to move in. Somebody else says, and you weren't the person responsible for the eviction. That person is responsible for those children being homeless. My guess is your sister and brother-in-law are the only ones responsible.
And I think this goes back. I feel like we had a story kind of like this. But also, it was when the in-laws were sleeping in the room and they were trying to change up the room. And one of the biggest things my dad would always say is, if you're in a bad, down bad position, you cannot be like aggressive. You can't go out of your way to like demand anything from anybody, because you have to ask yourself, how did you get here?
One of the things that, even though I do agree, like, you don't have to do this, because I'm curious if you what you thought about this, Myra, in relation to four agreements
and Myra
Myra Maddie, in this situation where you're because it talks about how you like build your own worldview, like how you're seeing the world and you're creating this thing based on what you perceive and how you feel people are talking to you, how you're seeing it through the lens of all these different things. Mm-hmm. So your relationship with your sister, your relationship with your family is colored through these experiences that you always see them through almost. And sometimes when you try to like shed that stuff and like just see them for who you really are, try to be more positive about those things, is it on you to like change how you're interacting with them, or do you always accept that past and that history as a thing that how I'm always going to interact with my sister? Because in my head, you could have these bad experiences with your sister. She said some awful things to you, and now you're an adult. every interaction from her can still be colored through that thing as a kid, even if it's not there anymore.
Right.
And I'm not saying it is or isn't, but how do you like move on from those things if you're like, I do want to have a better life. I want to have a better relationship with my family or with my sister, but I'm not moving on from that thing.
Well, honestly, is this from the new book that you're reading? Because yeah. I haven't read that one yet.
Yeah,
I read the first one.
So it's like really goes in deeper on like, I am creating my life and I get to choose how I perceive people.
Okay.
And I get away from me like I actually know them because I don't know anybody. I really truly don't know anybody. I'm at the center of my own world and I can never know anybody. I can just only put what I want into a relationship and hope that they reciprocate.
Yeah, well, I feel like it depends on, so I haven't read that book yet, but I feel like it depends on, because I have two examples in my head of people, older versions of people that I didn't like when I was younger, and interacting with them, the versions of them now, and having two different perceptions of them. So there is this one person who I knew, kind of like my sister's like little brother, and to me, he was like really annoying and our personalities did not, in my opinion, we clashed. He thought it was like funny. I did not like this person at all.
Yeah.
And so it's been like 6 to 10 years later, I meet him again. And throughout this whole time, periodically, my sister has always had like a sibling relationship with this person. And talking about how highly of, you know, how he's grown so much and all of these things. And I meet him for the first time, nervous, honestly, because I remember how he used to be.
Right.
And I was wondering if he would still treat me how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was completely different. Like you could tell there was still a little bit of memories of like his personality in general, but he was a completely different person. And it was actually really refreshing. And I was really like, I didn't know him very well, but I was really proud to see him grow up in the person that he was. And I didn't have any of those feelings of annoyance or anger towards him. And I feel like that's a moment where it's like, I did originally see him with the lens that I had, but seeing that he was a different person, it was really easy to shed those lenses compared to another person who I grew up with. And we always clashed. We never got along. It was like really bad. We always fought. That person, even, you know, 5 to 10 years later, hasn't changed very much. So for me, it's really hard to not, even if I wanted to move forward,
yeah.
It's really hard, like you're saying, not to be triggered by those past experiences, because in a lot of ways, it's still the same person. We still trigger each other the same. They still are struggling with the same things that they're struggling with. They haven't really grown that much. So for me, I still see them in that light because they are still in that light. But, you know, like you're saying, we don't know these people fully.
Yeah.
So I think maybe there's that of how much has a person truly changed, and that's how much I'll change my perception of them. And also, neither of them, to be honest, I really want a relationship with. So I think that's fair to say for both of them. I'm like, hey, it's cool to see you occasionally. But we could really just, you know, talk for a few times a year and that would be fine. Because we don't have a relationship. I don't have a relationship with either of them. So.
Yeah, because you don't have to be in a relationship with anybody. I thought it was an interesting aspect. It was like, what does this trigger say about me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what am I getting from the trigger and like kind of abstracting them away from it? Like, just see people as like characters that interact with you in different parts of your life and touch you in different areas. Why is this triggering me in this way? And why does it make me feel this way? And kind of extracting them away from it. So it's less about whether they are good or bad. It's more about how they affect me and why they affect me that way and what I can do to make sure if I don't like this feeling or I don't feel it's true about myself, how can I change that? And then, so you're not as worried about, well, if you're like, this person always brings me this and I feel this way and I feel like the only way to get out of it is to cut them off, then that's a solution. Like, that's an action you can take. But it's not even, but you're also saying that this person has this power to do this to me, which no one does have power to do it. You are allowing them. And not, I'm saying allowing like, oh, I'm a victim and they're just doing things to me. It's like, in your mind, something's allowing you to do this thing to allow this to happen to your mind,
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Yeah, I can see that. I definitely feel like it would be like a trigger that they were doing that would, like you're saying, that was triggering me.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like, at least from one of them, it was generally unhappiness on their end and it was an attack to upset me.
Yeah.
And I think depending on the energy that I had that day, it would work.
Or
it would work.
Yeah.
But I can see where you're coming from of also, are there things that I could do to protect myself to, in the future, be like, I understand that this is kind of what you're dealing with. I understand that this is how you spew your poison at me, as the book likes to say.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to receive any of that. But also, it's difficult when it's like a familial relationship.
And that's where I'm struggling in the book, is that thing, like how to accept both things at the same time.
Yeah.
I do think he's right about people are just sending things out through their lens and someone's good, someone's bad. But you're like, you're so entrenched in these familial relationships. How do you separate that?
Yeah.
And I think he's doing a great job in the book, but I'm like, personally in my head, I'm like, I don't know how I can always separate that completely. It's very difficult.
Well, because in the book that I'm reading about relationships, he's basically saying that we should never have any expectations about people.
Yeah.
Like, especially when it comes to dating people, you shouldn't have any expectations. You know, you found the partner that you want to be with when you don't have to change anything about yourself and they don't have to change anything about themselves. And that's how you know you're in love. Like, that's how you know, is when nobody has to change, you completely, fully accept them.
Yeah.
And I think to a certain extent, maybe that can be said for that situation of, well, I can't have any expectations about those other people.
Right.
Which, you know.
Because I guess we do frequently have expectations of, especially family, of the roles, like a mother should be like this, a brother should be like this, a sister should be like this. And if you're not matching up to this role that out in the world of what this is, you're going to be disappointed.
Anyway, always talking about the Four Agreements books. I think Brandon needs to get in the arsenal next if he's interested.
I feel like I'm missing out on information.
I think it's good. I have a book over there if you want to read it. There's three, so two of them already rented out right now.
I'm sorry, there's three of them.
But it's a quick read. The Four Agreements is
Four
a quick read.
Four Agreements is going like that.
It's literally four things and then a little beginning, a little end. And then I haven't read Sam's book. I'm reading a different, but it's like three books by the same author talking about like relationships and like self-help, I guess. Thank you everybody for joining us for the Four Agreements chat and also the Reddit podcast.
Slowly turning if I have anything to say.
All right. So thank you for coming to another episode of Comfort Level Podcast. And we will see you next time. Bye. Bye. Welcome back to Behind the Wall.
Behind the Wall. We shit on the wall. We read podcast stories.
Welcome back to Stories Beyond the Wall.
What are you faking?
Behind the wall.
I heeded the call. That's my favorite thing to say.
Behind the wall.
Behind the wall. I heeded the call.
And I've got a story for you behind the wall.
Yes. Can we talk to subscribers? r/comfortlevelpod. Can we talk to subscribers? r/comfortlevelpod.
My face is so like, wow, that was a lot. Let us know what you guys think about that. That was a lot of effort. What is that up there in that corner?
That's what I was looking at. I thought where? It was a nail. Oh, it's moving.
Oh. Oh.
Is it like one of those like stink bugs?
It looks like it.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a bug assault rifle? You got an assault rifle? Oh, Maddie, you're just gonna grab it? Maddie, what if it's a fly or a jumper? Maddie, what if it's a fly or a jumper?
And grab a cup or something. Scoop it up with a cup.
We're just supporting Maddie from over here. Just doing a live. Okay, she grabbed it with a tissue. She's pulling it down, and she's running it up. She's a true champ. The reason why I didn't get up was because the headset's like it's like tied up. Because I would have got up and grabbed it, but it's because the headset.
I just didn't have now a
Brandon,
cup.
Now Brandon said
I didn't have a cup.
He didn't have a cup.
Yeah, it was actually the antifreeze.
Yeah. What?
On the dresser. That's my antifreeze cup.
Oh. So that's why he didn't do it. Let's applaud Maddie as she comes back.
What was it?
It's a stink bug.
We're proud of her. We're just telling the audience why we didn't get up and help, and it was a you thing.
Why?
Yeah.
Why didn't you guys get up?
I said because my the headphones were like tied up because I was getting ready to get up. And then Brandon, what'd you say?
I didn't have an empty cup because it was filled with antifreeze upstairs.
Mm. Yeah, so those are the reasons. Right. But we were really proud of you for what you did, the bravery that you had.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
You didn't even need a cup.
No, I just use a tissue.
You said, give me a tissue. That's all I need.
Because I don't know how, but, you know, spring to summer, these hoes are in my house.
These hoes ain't loyal.
I wish they...
No, they are loyal.
They are loyal. They're loyal. Well, house. They're loyal to the area.
Yeah.
But somehow they got in the house, and I hate it so much because I don't like smushing bugs because then you hear the little cracks. Yeah, but then also, those bugs specifically, they stink when you kill them.
That's why I call them stink bugs.
So I have to flush them. And so I ran up and flushed it. And it was disgusting. And they're just so big. They're like, ugh.
I get ladybugs. There's like ladybugs keep flying in my house. And it sucks. Because they'll bang against the lights. And it's so scary when they're like, ding, 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 ding. And I'm like. So I'm shooting the rifle into the light.
Say hello to my love friend.
When I worked at Chick-fil-A, they had a salt gun too.
You gotta get a salt gun.
So I kind of, but I would just like, there's not really, actually kind of in the summer, there was quite a few flies down here for some reason, but it is so cold that they would die because they just could not live with the temperature. They're like.
They're like, people live down here too? How are you guys
They're
living
like,
in here?
I think this is the Antarctic. Yeah. I can look out and I see grass.
That was very good.
I look out and I see grass, but I can't. Something is holding me back. There's an invisible force holding me back. And so a lot of these flies last, like looks, is something they'll never be able to get
they'll
to.
They'll never see it.
So it's, if anything, it's torture being down here. I'm like, you guys chose to fly in here, you idiots. You have all these different views of the world and you chose to fly in here. There's no food down here.
Well, it's because they're adventurers. They want to see. They're like, wait, let me go check that out.
Listen, you have about what, like 20 days of life? Yeah. You chose the wrong life.
And that's what we do, but we have like years to find out the worst of our decision. We're like, oh, we shouldn't have done that.
That was a bad idea.
Yeah. They just have days to figure them like, oh, dang, that's my
life. That's my bad.
What a waste I am.
Their cousins are flying outside. Why did you go in there? I told him not to go.
They're on the other side of the glass. Yeah, they're like we're living our life. Then there's like another cousin. We stay fly. There's another cousin in the corner of the glass frame that's being wrapped up by a spider too. So it's like there's so many different outlines. Like,
your mom told you about that. Do not go into those webs.
He's don't like, go into the webs.
That's my bad.
That's my bad.
It's warm in here though. Yeah. Y'all should try these ones.
It's kind of constricting. Yeah, it's like, also, it's a little constricting.
And the way the spider's looking at me, guys, I don't like where this is going.
Could you just like wrap my abdomen so I can get that hourglass before I die?
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.